Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 will begin in verse 5, and this morning we'll go through verse 25. Luke 1, 5 through 25. This is God's Word. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now, you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Try and put yourselves in this scene. People had been waiting for generations for the promise of God to be fulfilled. And it just wasn't happening. Day after day after day after day was just like the day before. There was a longing for deliverance. Sadly, it was primarily a longing for deliverance from Rome. As far as they were concerned, the problem was a foreign government oppressing them. It was hard economically. Your work could be interrupted at any time by a passing soldier who wanted you to carry his backpack. And if he told you to do so, legally you were obligated to carry it for a mile. Now, imagine if that was your life, day in and day out. So the people were longing for deliverance. Oh God, when will you come and rescue us? They didn't even understand that the real rescue they needed was from the wrath of God because of their sins. Well, what if you were a godly couple, a devout couple, a couple that carefully observed God's law like Zechariah and Elizabeth? Well, that's the setting. Zechariah is a priest. He has to leave his wife at home periodically to go and serve his stint. It was a little like the military. He had to go and serve his time in Jerusalem. And during that time that he was serving there, he was chosen by lot. That's a little like rolling dice, but not. A little like flipping a coin, but not. But it's a means of trying to discern the will of God. And this was done all through the Old Testament. It's how decisions were made. Believing that, as Scripture says, even though it looks to us like just a random outcome, every decision, when you're seeking God's direction via the lot, every decision is from the Lord. God ordains the outcome. Seemingly random things to us turn out to be God at work. God is at work all the time on behalf of those who love him. Does that mean we have no choice? No. But it means that God is so big and so wise and so strong that he's able to take even our choices and weave them into something good. So the lot said it was Zechariah's turn to go into the temple and burn incense before the Lord. So he went in to do so. And while he's doing what he's supposed to do, all of a sudden, he realizes there's somebody else there. We might think that that's why Zechariah was afraid, was simply he was startled. And no doubt, he was startled. He has been chosen by lot to go into the temple. What's this guy doing there? But there's something else going on here. Because when the angel tells him not to be afraid, that is exactly what almost all the angels in the Bible say when they first speak to somebody. And the reason for that is because angels are not airy-fairy little things that float around like Tinkerbell. Angels are mighty. They are sent by God on a mission. The word also means messenger, and that's exactly what's happening here. But these angels have enormous power, and they are formidable. So, the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid." But our main point today is the rest of what the angel said. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard." Do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Now, this had to be not only surprising, but obviously it was hard to believe. What prayer has been heard? Well, Zechariah and Elizabeth wanted to have a child. And they had prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. But Elizabeth was barren. She was not physically able to get pregnant and have a child. And so, after all the prayers they had prayed, it must have seemed that either God wasn't listening or that the answer was no. I mean, that's a natural conclusion to come to, because they've asked and asked and asked and asked, and now they've given up to the point where when the angel tells them it's going to happen, they don't say, you know, Zechariah doesn't say, oh, wonderful, Elizabeth's going to be so excited. This is just great news. Thanks, buddy. He's like, how can I be sure of this? Because I'm really old and my wife is too. Now, when the angel said, do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard, it should be instructive for us. Just because we don't see things happening the way that we want, when we want, doesn't mean that God hasn't heard us. And it doesn't mean that he has said no. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that whatever we ask, if he hears us, we have that which we are asking of him. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Okay, but there's a caveat in there. It says if we ask anything according to his will. Okay? So, I mean, that kind of lets God off the hook, because it's not like you and I can just pray for whatever we want and it's going to happen. God doesn't need to get off a hook. He's the ruler of the universe. He's the creator of all things. He has all power and all authority. I'll tell you who gets off the hook that way. It's us. Because if God had created a universe where all of us get whatever we want, it would be a disaster. You may think, oh, if only I could just be put in charge of the world for a day, okay, I'd straighten all this out. No, you wouldn't. How's your room? Okay. How's your health? Well, this is not my fault. Okay, I mean, I know I don't eat exactly what I ought to eat, but I still think, if you and I were in charge and we got whatever we wanted, whenever we wanted it, the way we want it, who's going to win the athletic competitions? Okay? Vols are undefeated! Well, Bama wouldn't like that, would they? And who cares about Ohio and Michigan and so forth and so on? But you see, I mean, if I'm cheering for this team and you're cheering for that team and both of us pray and God has to give us whatever we want. No, God is working his purpose out. Jesus prayed and said, Father, if there's any other way, please let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. The disciples had asked Jesus, please, John taught his disciples how to pray. Would you please teach us how to pray? He said, well, you need to pray along these lines. Our Father, who's in heaven, may your name be hallowed. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whose kingdom do you want? Yours? You want to be king? You want to be in charge? You want to be the boss? You want to have it your way? God says, this is the confidence that you can have. If you ask anything according to my will, I hear you. And if I hear you, you have what you're asking for. You have it. Not just, I'll do it. It's granted. When God says, this is what's going to happen, Zechariah and Elizabeth, you're going to have a baby. You're to give him the name John, and he's going to be great in the sight of God. Well, that wasn't now suddenly a significantly more likely event. That was absolutely going to happen. When God says something, that's it. It's decided. We operate all too often like Zechariah. God says it, and we would just like a little more evidence. Okay? God's word is not enough somehow for us. As a result of Zechariah not believing what God had spoken through the angel, he lost the power of speech. Very appropriate. Good reminder. He lost the ability to speak because he didn't believe what God had spoken. When the angel brought him this message, the angel said, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. How can I be sure? Do you think God sees the future? Do you see God looking out into the future and saying, I wonder if this will happen. Yeah, I think that's probably the way it's going to go. No, God knows the end from the beginning. It doesn't just mean he can tell them apart. It means he's always known. Ephesians 1 says he chose us in Christ from the foundation of the world. Before he made everything, he already knew all about you. God knows how many hairs are on top of your head right at this moment. God knows everything. Before a word is on my tongue, the psalmist says, you know exactly what I'm going to say. Because he does. God doesn't say, oh, I didn't see that coming. He did see it coming. And he decided to let it happen. Well, I don't understand some of the things God does. I don't either. If I was God, if you were God, we'd all be toast. Okay? I don't think you could keep the county running, much less the universe. God spoke the universe into being. He created everything out of nothing. You think he needs our advice? When I pastored on Cape Cod, I used to drive down to the beach to have my quiet time, and I'd look out at the ocean, and I would tell God all the things that I needed for him to do for me. All for his glory, of course. It was in order that I might advance the kingdom. And so I'm saying, God, we've got to be able to get that piece of property, and we've got to be able to get financing, and we've got to be able to get a building, we're running Sunday school in four different locations because the church has been growing, and I mean, you know, people, it causes some people to turn away when they say, you know, we want to join you Sunday. What time are your services? And I say, well, what ages are your children? This just isn't good, God. If you want us to do this, you need to provide us with this. And God, from time to time, would just say, look out there. See all that? I did all of that with no input from you. I'd say, right, you're right. You're right. You don't need my advice. I'm here to serve you. You're in charge. I don't understand why we're having to wait so long, but you're in charge. You know what's best. I trust you. I mean, The church got built. God provided the right land at the right time. And the guy who was selling it to us said he'd finance it for about half of what the mortgage rates were back then. Isn't that amazing? And we got the building up, and the church grew even more, and then God called me elsewhere. You know what? God knows exactly what he's doing. And he works all things together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. These folks, it says, Zechariah and Elizabeth, both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. Does that mean they never sinned? No, it means that they lived a blameless life. How could you be blameless? Because they kept short accounts with God. They would go to the Lord and receive forgiveness and cleansing, and they sought to be obedient to the Lord. It is possible to be blameless in his sight. How blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. God buries our sins in the deepest sea. Corrie ten Boom added, and puts up a sign, no fishing. You and I serve a God who keeps his word. His word is always fulfilled at the proper time. Look again at verse 20. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. Why couldn't they have this son earlier? Because it wasn't time yet. It wasn't time yet. John the Baptist, their son, was going to prepare the way for Messiah, Jesus. And it wasn't time for Jesus yet. But when it was time for Jesus, God sent a forerunner, an older cousin, John the Baptist, who would prepare the way of the Lord just as it had been promised through the prophecies in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4 talks about the fact that God was going to send a forerunner and that he would turn the hearts of the fathers toward their children and the hearts of the children toward the fathers and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous in order to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's what God had promised. God said he was going to do it, and God did it. God will always do what he says. So, whether you believe the truth or not, it's still true. You hear that? Whether you believe the truth or not, it's still true. And whatever God decrees and declares, he will do. God will always do what he says. So don't be afraid that his promise might not apply to you. His word is true. That's why we study his word, is so that we know the truth. His word is true. You can believe it. So that would take a miracle. Well, God's done a few of those. More than a few. Don't be afraid to trust him. What you better be careful about is doubting him. You believe him, if you trust him, there's safety in that. If you doubt him, you might get yourself hurt. Not because God's cruel, but because God is righteous and he keeps his promises.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.